Welcome to the Building Great Lives podcast, a podcast about real life, real issues, and finding real answers to life's most difficult questions. And now your host, Trent Gillum.
Greetings, everyone. Trent here. Welcome to episode number 38 of the podcast. I'm glad you've joined the Building Great Lives journey. Before we get started, as always, I would like to say a huge thank you to our monthly ministry partners and to you, the listener. You make this ministry possible, and I'm excited to have you on the Building Great Lives team here at the Building Great Lives podcast. It's our desire to help people from around the world grow, heal, discover, and fulfill their unique purpose. Thank you for sharing these episodes. We're praying these messages of hope reach every possible person in every possible nation. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to maintain hope during difficult times. With so much going on in the world, I want to make sure you don't lose hope. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Peter told us to always be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks the reason for our hope. And I want to make sure that I remind each and every one of you that you do have a reason to maintain hope. I find this command from Peter to be very interesting, because why would we need to be ready to give people the answer of why we remain hopeful? There must have been something going on in their lives and in their world. And Peter was telling them, there's going to be people that wonder, how can you keep worshiping and keep holding on even when things are so difficult in your life or around you? The reason that they could continue worshiping was not because they had hope in this world alone. It's because they had hope in Jesus. Jesus is the reason for our hope. That's why we can maintain hope no matter what we're going through. You see, hope is a complex emotion made up of earnest desire and expectation. Maintaining hope is extremely important. I've seen people that received negative medical diagnoses, but when the doctor was able to tell them there is a treatment plan, even in the midst of the negative diagnosis, there was still a hope. Okay, I'm going to go through some things, but the doctor has a plan. There's a treatment process, and the results are good. I've seen those people maintain hope. But on the other hand, I've seen people that were given a negative medical diagnosis that when the doctor unfortunately looked at them and told them, there's no treatment for this. I've seen people that looked strong a few days before the diagnosis seem to go down so rapidly. And you wonder, how can one get a negative diagnosis yet maintain, and the other get a negative diagnosis and go down rapidly? How does that work? It's hope. One was given the options of treatments that work. Oh, this is difficult, but I know there's a plan that works, and I can maintain hope. The other lost hope. And when we lose hope, we go down rapidly. And I'm not just talking about in the flesh, and I'm not just talking about emotionally. I'm talking about spiritually. When the enemy can pull us into a feeling of hopelessness, it's so difficult to maintain our spiritual mindset to where we can go and do the things that God has called us to do. And the enemy does that to us. He'll come in and do everything he can to pull hope out of our lives. But we need to be reminded that our hope is not in this world alone. Our hope is in Jesus. And because Jesus is our hope, no matter what the enemy does, no matter how many times the enemy tries to pull us down into hopelessness, we can say we will overcome, because our source of hope is not limited to this world, but our source of hope is Jesus and eternal things. Jesus cannot be defeated by the enemy. So why should I allow hopelessness to take over over my life when I know as long as Jesus lives, there is opportunity. As long as the Lord is working, there is always hope. Even in what looks like a hopeless situation, the Lord is always working. Paul told the church at Rome in chapter 12 and verse 12 to rejoice in hope. It was not that Paul was telling them that things would always be good in their life, but he was telling them you can still rejoice because your hope is not based in earthly things or the things that you see around you. Your hope is not based upon whether things are good or bad in your life. Your hope is based on eternal things, on supernatural things, and hope can always be accessed. So regardless of what we're going through, we can maintain a rejoicing spirit. I have seen people do that. I have seen saints of God walk into the house of God after going through some of the most difficult situations and still lift their hands and raise their voice, even though it was difficult, because they know their source of hope is not in this world alone. And I refuse to let the enemy continue to pull you down into hopelessness. I felt the Holy Ghost give me this episode because someone is feeling the heaviness of hopelessness. But I want to remind you, like Peter said, that you still have a reason for hope. And the reason is Jesus. He's our great hope. He's our powerful hope. Jesus is ready to renew and restore you back to hope again. And I know what some of you may be thinking, but I've been feeling hopeless for a long time. I've been praying for a long time for things to become better in my life, but it seems like that it's taken a long time. Well, I know a man in the Bible that could relate to how you're feeling. The Bible tells us in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, that there was a man at the pool of Bethesda that had lost all hope. He had been there 38 years. And the Bible tells us that there came a certain time that an angel would come down and trouble the water, and the first that entered into the water would be made whole. Now, some historians and theologians believe that it happened once a year, and some say twice a year. Regardless of when it happened, we know that from the text, the man had been there for 38 years. And when Jesus came and looked at him and asked him, "What do you need me to do?" Instead of answering Jesus and saying, "Lord, I need you to heal me. I need this healing in my body." Instead of answering the Lord on what he needed, he replied to the Lord, "Lord, I have no man to carry me." That another gets there first and they're healed. He revealed his hopelessness to Jesus. He reveals to Jesus that "I've been here a long time, but now I have recognized that when the waters trouble, it's hopeless for me to be able to get there first. And every time that I try, someone else gets there before me and they are healed. And I am left here in the despair of my situation, having no man to help me." You see, he was revealing his hopelessness that he was in. He had drifted into despair. 38 years being in that condition is a long time. And no doubt when you've been praying for answers for a long time and it just seems like they're taking so long to come, it's so vital for us to remember our source of hope, because if we're not careful, we will slip into hopelessness. And when the Lord begins to move and ask us, "What do you need?" our revealing to him will be, "I am in a state of hopelessness. No man can help me." But Jesus didn't need anybody else. Jesus is the healer. And Jesus had walked into the middle of this man's 38 years of hopelessness and looks at him and speaks and says, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. That amazes me. Jesus stepped into the middle of the man's hopelessness and gave him hope again. I want you to know, listener, no matter how long you've been going through this situation, no matter how many times you've tried to get it fixed, no matter how many times you've tried to put it back together, I want you to know the enemy that has been dragging you down into despair and hopelessness is not more powerful than our Lord. Our Lord is here right now. Jesus is here to help you. Our help, our hope is in Jesus. And I feel this very strongly from Him right now to tell you, you need to remember your source of hope. You need to remember your source of strength because God is ready to move in your life. He's ready to rebuke the despair and the hopelessness off of your life that you can grab hold of Him. And remember, you can always maintain hope because He, the source of hope, will never leave you nor forsake you. And I feel that word for somebody right now. The Lord saying to you, rise up in hope. Be healed in hope. Get out of that hopelessness. Get out of that despair and begin to walk in the Spirit again. Begin to believe again. Pray again. Rejoice again. Why? Because Jesus is our source of hope. No matter what is going on in our world or the world, Jesus is greater than our hopelessness. Jesus is greater. And I feel the Lord wanting to encourage you right now. And the Bible tells us about a woman that had tried everything she could to get better. The Bible says that she rather grew worse. In Luke chapter number 8, verses 43 through 48, we find the story of the lady with the issue of blood, and she had tried many physicians and many medications trying to get better from a blood disorder that many believe caused her to continually be bleeding. And I know that from reading other scripture that it made her unclean to worship, and it made her have to be away and separated from her family. And so she's dealing with this not only spiritually, but emotionally. And she has gone to many doctors. The Bible even gives us the details where it says that she went to them out of her living and she paid for it out of the money required to live. In other words, she was not seeking these treatments out of her wealth, but out of desperation because she was spending her daily needs, the money required to live every day on seeking treatment, but she found no help and rather grew worse. And there came a day that the doctors told her, there's nothing more we can do. Can you imagine the feeling of hopelessness that must have come over her? For 12 years, she had gone through the emotional roller coaster of the doctor saying, we can try this new prescription. But can you imagine the emotional roller coaster of the hope of it working to the disappointment when it fails? And finally, the doctors looked at her after 12 long years of that up and down roller coaster of hope to disappointment and said, I'm sorry, there's nothing else that we can do. You're just going to have to go home and deal with this. And we know that this condition, at some point, it was going to take her life. And when she left that doctor's office that day, the weight of hopelessness must have been very heavy on her until she heard of Jesus. Until she heard that the multitudes had come out to Jesus, and she pressed through the crowd. And the Bible tells us that she touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, immediately virtue or power went out of Jesus into her. And immediately she was healed, made whole of this disease that had plagued her for 12 long years. The blood that had been continually flowing was immediately stopped, and she is healed by touching Jesus. She could go home and live in hopelessness until she gave up and despair won and defeated her. Or she could turn to the source of hope and she went to Jesus. You have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Hope is a choice. There's times that we can feel so condemned and the weight of hopelessness heavy upon our shoulders, and the enemy is in the background trying to do all he can to pull us down into that despair deeper and deeper until we give up and walk away and just die spiritually. But there is a choice to be made. The same choice the lady with this issue of blood made. It's either go home in hopelessness and die in despair, or turn to Jesus and touch him and be healed. It's either hopelessness or hope, and it's a choice. I'm telling you right now, listener, the Lord wants you to choose the hope that is him. He wants you to choose to worship again, choose to believe again, choose to pray again. It's the enemy that wants you to go home in despair and give up, but it's God that said, I'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. I will do the impossible for you. The Lord's saying, choose hope. Choose hope. Don't give up in despair. Our hope is not in this world alone. If it were, we'd be of all men most miserable. But our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the great things and eternal things that is found in him, in a place that rust cannot corrode and nothing can corrupt, in a place that the enemy cannot get to. We have a reason for hope. And I come to you right now, listener, telling you, choose hope. Don't let that despair shake yourself in the spirit. Stir up that gift that is within you and say, I am not going to lose hope, because losing hope means walking away from Jesus. And as long as I've got Jesus, I've got hope. As long as I've got Jesus, there's a way. As long as I've got Jesus, there's hope for my marriage. There's hope for my family. There's hope for my despair. You've got to say that to yourself. As long as I've got Jesus, I've got hope to get me through everything that I've been going through. No matter how long we've been dealing with it, Jesus is our hope. No matter what we're going through, choose to believe again. Choose to hope again, because the struggle that's been trying to pull you down is trying to keep you from your purpose. But hope is in Jesus, who is pulling you to your purpose. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, verses 46 through 52, about a man that was begging outside of Jericho. And there the blind man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Timaeus means blind man. Bartimaeus means Bar is son, and Timaeus, blind man. So Bartimaeus was the blind son of the blind man. I feel very confident in telling you that it was something that had been genetically passed down to him. He had been dealing with this for generations, and he sat by the highway side begging for alms, as those that would go outside of the city gates would pass by him. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, that's my hope right there. I've heard that people have cried out to him and he's healed them and he's delivered them. No doubt he had tried doctors. No doubt he had tried many things to get better, but nothing worked. But hope was passing by that day. How's Bartimaeus going to respond to hope passing by that day? Is he just going to let him walk by? No. The Bible says that Bartimaeus cried aloud, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And those that were gathered around tried to tell him, hold your peace, be quiet. You don't have to say any of that. Don't do that. Be quiet. If he holds his peace, he stays the same. And he did not hold his peace. He cried aloud even more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Mark chapter 10, verse 49 said, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And all that were gathered around the blind man, they looked at him and told him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Be of good comfort. That phrase means let hope arise. Be of good comfort. I know you've been going through difficult things, but you need to let hope arise right now, because the source of hope is calling you, Bartimaeus, and you can hope and trust in him. Things are about to be different. And Bartimaeus cast off the garment of the beggar and he goes to Jesus. And there Jesus asked him, what do you need me to do? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Hope was passing by. Hope stood still. Hope called the blind man and gave him the healing that he needed. The healing that nothing else could give came from Jesus, the source of hope. Be of good comfort. Arise. Let hope arise in you. Get up and go to the source of hope. There's something happening in the spirit right now, and I believe that God is speaking a word to somebody that says, you need to let hope arise in your life again. You need to be of good comfort. You need to know that no matter what you've gone through, no matter how many tears have run down your face in the day or in the dark of night when no one else has seen, no matter how many times your heart has felt like that it would be broken out of your chest, there is a hope that goes beyond the pain. There is a hope that goes beyond this world, and that hope is Jesus. And he's calling for somebody right now, and he's saying, I want you to rise up. I want you to be comforted. I want you to let your hope be restored again, because true hope and the source of all hope is calling you out of your hopelessness and calling you into a place of the miraculous. I believe that God is calling some of us out of hopelessness and the despair that comes with it into a place of lively hope. No wonder 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope. We in modern times use the word lively as to be in the sense of animated. However, in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, lively means living, to come alive. The hope which they had had living power. It was not cold, inoperative, nor dead. It was not mere form nor speculation. It was active and it was powerful. There is a hope that is ready to become active inside of you right now. It's time that you stir up that gift that's inside of you and say, I'm going to let hope arise. I'm going to step into the things of God, and I'm going to allow hope to become lively in my life. It's not going to be based on what's happening around me, but it's going to be based on the Lord working through me. God is calling you to a lively hope today. A lively hope, a place where hopelessness falls away like chains from a freed prisoner. Released from the heavy burden that the enemy put on you and that life put on you. Released from that despair, walking in a lively hope again. Listener, how long have you been feeling the weight of despair? Isn't it time? Isn't it time to step into the source of our hope? The source of our hope is Jesus, and he's calling you to a lively hope, a powerful hope, an active hope. And as has become our tradition here at the Building Great Lives podcast, I want to pray for you that you would have a lively hope, that you would have an active hope, that it would rise up inside of you again, and that the despair that you've been under would roll away, and that life-giving power of hope would restore your faith again. Lord, help the listener maintain their hope in you. Give them the strength to keep holding on to the promises that you have given them. Lord, your word tells us the God of hope will fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, you are reminding us, even when all else has failed, you will never fail. We can put our trust in you. Jesus, you are the source of our hope. And when the world looks on and says, how can you still be making it? How can you still have joy in such troubled times? We can tell them it's because the source of our hope is Jesus. And as always, thank you so much for listening. In the meantime, please subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend. Maybe text them the link or share it on your social. You can connect with me on Instagram at Rev Gillum, on Facebook at Trent Gillum. You can also reach me at buildinggreatlivespodcast@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, let's keep building.
You've been listening to the Building Great Lives Podcast, a member of the Real Life Church Network. Join us next time as we dig deeper into life's most challenging questions.